This is Animal Heart Radio Network.
Hey, Hot Stuff, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm doing fine. This is Judy.
Yes, and I'm Hal. And this is Animal Radio Network. Hour two, if you're just joining us, and missed hour one, you can go to animalradio.com and pick it up. And then, of course, there's hour three, and then we actually do several hours by ourselves in front of our fish bowls. Joan Embry will be on the show today. You remember her from Johnny Carson, of
the
course.
Joan Embry.
She brought all the animals on Johnny Carson.
Yes. It's 1-866-405-8405, you lucky devil. It's toll-free, so you can call, complain, ask questions, whatever you desire on this beautiful Saturday morning. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Hi, Dawn.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Carson City, Nevada.
Oh, very beautiful. Listening on KPTL, I imagine. We actually have several stations up there. They love their animals up there. What can we do for you today, Dawn?
Well, I just have a question for you.
Okay.
I have a new puppy that has a problem with piddling all over my house, and I can sometimes see the spots, and I can definitely smell them. But I wondered if you guys had any ideas on how I could actually get the stains up from the rug and the odor.
What a polite word, piddling. I like that. Hey, I like that. Anyway, well, what do you suggest?
I suggest that you get a carpet cleaner that has enzymes.
Ooh.
Yes, enzymes are, you don't want to go out and get the little foo-foo spray foam and things like that because they're not going to break down that odor.
Oh, you need something hardcore.
Hardcore. You want something with enzymes.
Okay.
There's a couple products out there called Nature's Miracle and Simple Solutions. And what it is, it's the enzymes in the cleaner break down the odor. Because what happens is you can't smell it after you clean it. It seems clean. It looks, it smells clean to you. But your dog has a really strong sense of smell, and he'll keep going back to the same spot.
He goes back to the same spot because of the smell.
Because of the smell, it attracts him. Because you think you're cleaning it, but you're not.
Now, why is he doing it in the first place all over the house?
He's pretty little still, but we use the little puppy pads to try to encourage him to use those. But I think he gets kind of defiant.
Oh.
and he likes to make sure that we know he's. He's there, I think. Marking his territory kind of thing.
Still in the training stages.
Yes, very much so.
How old is he?
He's about 11 weeks old.
Oh, wow.
He's a young
baby.
Yeah, but he's very intelligent. I figured he'd have got this by now.
Well, he may have, and he's just playing you.
Yeah, he's just
seeing how intelligent you are.
And I'm easily played.
You know, there's also another trick, because sometimes you think you're cleaning the spots. It may dry before you get to it, so if you're feeling around for a wet spot and you can't really find the spots, there's a trick.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
The trick is to turn out all the lights and turn on a black light.
Oh, yeah, I'll just get the black light out from the 70s.
Yeah. Most people do have them from the 70s, but what it does is it shows the stain on the carpet.
Okay, so it will show up.
It will show up with the black light. So what you do is you turn out all the lights, turn on a black light, and then you can mark it with like a chalk or something. So when you turn the lights back on, you can clean it, and you'll get every spot that that little piddler has done.
Okay, so your suggestion, Judy, is basically get the smell up first.
Get the smell. Break down the stains, the odors with the enzyme cleaner. Make sure that's important. The foo-foo spray foam carpet cleaner is not going to do it.
Yeah, nothing.
Well, the stuff that you recommend is safe for the dog to inhale or also lick.
Yeah, what about that?
Yes, these products are safe. They're safe around pets and children. So you don't have any concern there putting these on your carpet that it's going to bother you.
And what are the name of those products again?
They are Nature's Miracle and Simple Solution are two. I'm sure there's many more out there if you go online. But those are two that
I know
that work very well.
Yeah, give it a shot, Don, and then give us a call back. Let us know if it worked. If it didn't, we'll try to figure out another plan for you, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
If it doesn't work, I'll probably be fired.
Yeah, just like that.
Well, you can come help me clean it.
Thanks for calling from South Lake Tahoe, Carson City area. Don, we appreciate it.
You're welcome.
1-866-405-8405 is the number. It's toll-free.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Stupid cat. Oh,
watch your language.
I can't say that on the air.
Don't
can
you
I?
Dare. He's a good cat.
I love my cat. I only say that because they'd say that to me.
They love walking across the boards and pushing all those buttons.
It's Animal Radio Network with Hal and Judy. Producer extraordinaire, I haven't said it the last few days.
Well, thank you.
I got to say, you're booking the guests like nobody's business here.
I got them. You want them? I got them. We got them. Okay. We got them here on Animal Radio.
Listen up. If you love animals,
and you don't call your cat stupid.
Yeah.
If you love animals and you have an inkjet printer, which is a pretty good likely combination.
Yeah, I do. I have both.
Then you want to be listening up. Our next guest comes to us from, where do you come to us from anyway?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. We have Terry Bankert on the phone with us. Terry, you put together a great fundraising program, and I got to tell you, in the nonprofit world where you have to raise money to help the animals, it's hard to come up with unique ideas, and you have certainly done that with your new program. Tell us about it. It's called Cash for Critters.
Yes, it is. It really is a great way to raise funds. I'm involved in animal welfare myself and have been for the last 30 years.
Give the organization a plug that you work for there in Arizona.
I would love to. There's two organizations. One actually is in northeastern Arizona, and that is Pet Allies.
Pet Allies.
Pet Allies. We work with a variety of companion animals as well as pot-bellied pigs and rats and birds and just about anything that we can help.
Is there a website for Pet Allies?
Yes. It is petalliesaz.org.
Okay.
O-R-G.
We'll put a link, if you don't mind, from the animalradio.com site. And you work for another organization, too?
Yes, another one that I've been on the board of for, gosh, almost 15 years, and that's Brambley Hedge Rabbit Rescue in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we're one of two all-rabbit rescue organizations in the state.
Wow. I didn't realize there was such a need for a rabbit rescue organization.
We've heard a lot this week.
Yeah.
Well, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
So what pays the bills? I've got to ask you. Obviously, these must be from your heart.
Yeah. They are from the heart. We do what everyone else does. We beg and we borrow and we try to write some grants, and a lot of what we do here at Cash for Critters actually came from that desire to raise funds.
And tell us all what Cash for Critters is. Tell us about the program.
Okay. It's really very easy. What we do at Cash for Critters, and if I may plug the website.
Absolutely.
www.cashforcritters.com, just like it sounds. And what we do is we help animal welfare groups raise funds by collecting empty inkjet, laser, and cell phones.
Well, these things have a value. I wouldn't think that a cartridge would have value after it's spent, but it does.
Yes, it does. It does. And of course, let's remember, we keep it out of the landfill, so there's the environmental aspect of it. The inkjet cartridges, almost all of them are worth $2 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah. And the laser cartridges, the value is $1 to $12, depending on the style. Some are worth more, some are worth less, and some we can't use. So that's why you need to refer to the website, and there's lots of downloads and support things on there. Cell phones are worth $2.50 each, and that's all digital cell phones. We paid all the shipping to get them from wherever it is in the United States or any of our territories to our facility.
I've got to ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
Who's paying you for this?
That's a very good question.
Okay.
We are the collection arm of a company that is one of the world's largest manufacturers of inkjet cartridges. And that's what happens, you know, when you manufacture or remanufacture anything, you need the core, you need the empty, and whether it's carburetors or inkjet cartridges. So our job is to get cartridges to support our parent company.
Now, you don't just pay anybody who sends it in. They have to be a member. It has to be an organization.
Exactly.
Okay.
We work with nonprofits. And rescue groups. And we do, you know, honestly, we have rescue groups that are in our family. We have thousands of them throughout the United States. And not all of them are 501c3s. They don't have to be. But we support the rescue groups.
What about the cell phones?
The cell phones as well. The cell phones, actually, we work with a company in Texas that we forward those to. We don't do anything with them. But the digital cell phones, any of the newer ones, and we work with them and forward the cell phones on to them. And that just kind of happened because people started asking us about, what do we do with the cell phones?
Well, now, how does somebody come up with this idea?
Well, came up with this idea actually one evening at dinner, working with my friends who own our parent company, and with it, we were talking about the challenge of collecting empties. So we kind of, being an animal welfare person myself, we came up with this idea years ago, and they just took it and ran with it. And just did everything we can. We have a great graphic artist, graphic department that supports us, and we do all the work, and they get all the money, so it's a really cool deal.
Now, what if I work for a shelter and I want to get my shelter involved? How do I do that?
Well, they can go right to our website, and there's a place where it says join us, and they it'll just pop up an email, and they send us the information, and what we'll do is send them a packet which includes all the procedures, how to download a UPS label, which you do right from our website, how to collect. We have solicitation letters so they can go to businesses of their board members, for instance, and say, this is how you, it's really about, this is how the public can help the animal welfare movement and the animal welfare groups without writing a check.
Right. And is there any
limit? They give them their junk.
Is there any limit as to how much you can turn in? How many cartridges?
No. As a matter of fact, we work very closely with PetSmart Charities. They use our program in their on their online orders. Anyone who orders from PetSmart Charity, or PetSmart actually, will get a prepaid mailer bag from PetSmart Charities. The money goes directly to them and back again to the animal welfare groups.
That's a good organization, Joyce Briggs over there at PetSmart Charities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess my question is, what in company do you work for?
The name of our parent company is a company called IJR. It's a company that works in the wholesale world, so no one really, I'm not sure, would know that.
Not a brand name.
No, sir. No, sir.
Position. Well, I got to tell you, it was a wonderful idea. It is a wonderful idea, and I want everybody to go to cashforcritters.com. It seems so obvious. We all use inkjet printers. I'm going to look around the office and the studio here. I can count 1, 2, 3, 4 inkjet printers. That we change the cartridges on probably 2 times a week.
Yes.
And they usually end up in a landfill. I'll tell you what I did do this week. I did notice, and I see that you do not take Epson inkjet printer cartridges.
That's correct.
They have their own program. I saw. Is that the reason that you don't take them?
No, actually, we don't take them because they're not recyclable. They're just simply a tank. And so what they're doing, and it's a great program, they're trying to keep them out of the landfills, but it's not a remanufacturable, it's a replacement tank, so that's why we don't take them.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do want, you bring up a really good point. If there's companies out there that are listening to your show, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, that they have some inkjet cartridges or laser cartridges or cell phones laying around the office, and they want to donate them to their local humane society or a rescue group, if they either go to our website and contact us or call us on our toll-free number, we could direct them to a group in their area and help them donate those cartridges.
Very good. I know for cars there's a tax deduction. Anything yet on this?
Don't think so, no. We're just doing good things for the environment.
Okay. Just trying to cover all angles.
Sure.
Well, down the line they might be.
You never know.
Okay.
All the ladies look at me like I'm some crazy nut.
Well, go call Washington and see what you can get them to do.
As soon as I'm done with this call, I'm going to call them again. I call them every day about this time.
Oh, good.
Never heard from the big guy yet. www.cashforcritters.com. Cashforcritters.com. We'll put a link from the animalradio.com website.
And you have an 800 number.
Yes, that is 1-866-301-7027.
And we'll also put that on the website, too, if you're driving around now. And we don't want you to call now or take your hands off the steering wheel.
No, please don't do that.
Terry, thanks so much for calling us today and telling us about your great program.
And thank you both.
Thank you.
There's more Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Yes?
Okay.
Mark, you don't sound anything like Joan Embry. I'll tell you that right now. Aren't we supposed
to? I could, if you'd like.
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to have Joan Embry on the show today?
Yes, I told you we would be interviewing her, but not this interview. She's the next interview.
What does Joan Embry got that I don't have?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Well,
that's why we have you first. We got priorities here.
Right.
For those of you that may remember, a couple of weeks back, we talked to Mark about Nikki, who was lost.
Actually, stolen.
Stolen. Missing, stolen, stolen.
Abducted.
Abducted. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, quickly to recap, I was just walking around my neighborhood here in Los Angeles, and it was 9:30 at night, and was approached by some Latino teenagers in a car, two of whom jumped out, demanded money, and when I didn't have any, they maced me in the face twice, and while I was incapacitated, stole Nikki and drove away.
Why do you think they took Nikki?
Because they were mad because I didn't have any money. That's my guess. I was one of three people who were assaulted that evening, but the only one with a dog.
So
I don't think they were looking for dogs.
That wasn't their original plan.
You pretty much wrote Nikki off. Figured...
Not at all.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Okay,
never.
So you went out, you put out signs. What'd you do?
Well, I did signs, I did outreaches. I should say, first of all, that it was difficult for me because I had no geographic starting point. She didn't just wander away. She was driven away, and so in a city like Los Angeles, it's huge. I had no idea where to begin to look. So because I do media and communications and PR as a career, I sort of had an edge of looking at, okay, let's get the broadest possible reach with each effort. And so the media was incredibly supportive. There were a number of radio stations and TV stations, and yourselves included, who told the story and ran pictures and alluded to the website that we have. After 4 weeks, though, it did start to get a little discouraging.
Yeah, people always say, you know, they show up years later and everything. But in honesty, after 4 weeks, your heart's pretty much sunk to the bottom of your stomach, I imagine.
That pretty much happened that first night.
Yeah.
And then the second day when there isn't a reward, or the third day or the fourth day, and you start to accept that you know, either in the worst case scenario, she might have been killed, and you don't want to go there, or more likely, someone has her and just wants to keep her. Because now it's not a question of ransom or reward.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a beagle. She's a beagle.
Okay.
4-year-old beagle. And just the nicest, sweetest dog in the world, which was part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I'll be real honest. When we spoke to you, I had sort of given up. I mean, I was going to do whatever I could to get the word out on the air, but I had pretty much thought that you probably wouldn't see Nikki again. But we get a call, 4 days ago, we get a call, very exciting message. I know Judy was jumping up and down. What happened? Nikki came back, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. She was turned into a shelter in East LA on early in the morning last week. Hadn't been there long. Because she had the microchip, they scanned her immediately, called me immediately, and I went down to get her, and it was in fact her. Was delighted, unexpected, but delighted.
Now, did the person who turned it in know the history behind the dog?
I don't know, because the shelters do not divulge who turned it in.
No questions asked. Was there any reward given?
There was no. There would have been had I known who it was, but no one offered their name, and no one therefore has the reward. So I am probably going to give the reward money to a charity.
Oh, very good for you.
So you're a big believer in the microchip.
I am an immense believer in the microchip, more so than because I never really gave it a lot of thought before. When I rescued her from a shelter when she was 6 months old, and they said, would you like a microchip? And I said, it seems like a good idea, and it's very, very inexpensive, all things considered. And then I never thought about it again until this, and I think most people don't think about it because no one expects situations like this or others to happen where it'll come in handy.
Well, ultimately, it was the microchip that united you two back together, correct?
Yes. It was. The truth of the matter is that the microchip only works if someone turns in the dog to either a vet or to a shelter, or if it's picked up. But then it works beautifully, assuming the system all works, and it did this time. If someone were to keep Nikki, and I believe given that she was very well fed.
Oh, you gained a little weight, huh?
She gained a lot of weight. Given that she was, I suspect she was probably kept at the same place for most of that time. How she got away, I don't know. I'll never know. My guess is that either she was let go because there was so much media attention, for which I'm very grateful and fortunate, that she became a little too hot to keep.
They were just eating them out of house and home, perhaps.
Or there was
we can't afford
to go around.
So what kind of information would you tell someone out there who has lost
weight? Yeah, upon retrospect, what feelings do you have that you might want to pass on to someone that may be looking for their animals?
Yeah, I've been asked this a lot by people, just my friends and everybody else, because let me preface it by saying I've never experienced such an overwhelming goodness of people from all around the country, from prayer chains to offers of help, offers to help fund a reward. Out of badness came incredible goodness, and that's a lesson than I have learned and I will take with me forever. In terms of you know, retrospect, I think if someone loses their dog under any circumstances, I think probably the most important thing to do is act quickly. I think that microchip, and it's important that even if you have a microchip that you make sure it's activated by checking with the company and keep licenses and registrations current. If you move, you have to let the company know, the microchip company know that you've moved, because they will try to call an old number. So it's important to remember that if you've changed, you've got to let those people know.
Good information there. Yes. Yes.
I think it's important that you never give up hope, even when it's difficult, because time milestones pass, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and discouragement rears its head. But just never give up hope and never give up trying. You know, we have to move forward in the other parts of our lives, of course. And the distraction of life's other demands recharges us, not the opposite.
Well, now you're in the media industry. When can we expect a full-length movie?
I don't think anytime soon. I think maybe a short movie.
There you go. Well, we appreciate your time, and of course, we'd love to hear stories like this, and we welcome Nikki back home very, very much. And like Mark says, if you're out there, you lost your animal, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. And make sure your microchip data is up to date with current addresses and phone numbers. We appreciate you taking time to share the story with us once again.
No, it's my pleasure. I appreciate your interest and your help in the past.
Very happy for you and Nikki, Mark.
Thank you so much.
And for those of you that perhaps don't have an animal yet, but you're looking for an animal, you just don't know what it looks like yet, perhaps.
Yeah, you haven't met your animal yet.
The Mega Adoption's coming up June 25th, which is at Johnny Carson Park in Los Angeles. And we expect about 400 adoptions to happen that day. 60 different shelters we're hoping will show up and adopt animals out. We hope you're there. There you go. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year and is 100% tax deductible. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Hi, Joan.
Hi.
You know, it's incredible, the guests that we've had on. I'm just looking at the January, February, March guests. We've had Ed Asner, Gary Berghoff, Dr. Joyce Brothers, Leslie Nielsen, very fun interview, Jack Hanna. That's just the beginning of the list, and I am so amazed. You've come such a far way, Judy, who people know that Judy's undergone a lot of adversity. She sounds like a normal person. She has no head. It actually just goes up to the shoulders. And with this, she actually books the show, many, many wonderful guests. And today, this guest, well, boy, I remember when I was a kid, couple of days ago, actually. I was
yeah,
a kid.
You still are.
And I was watching Johnny Carson, and there was always this lady that came on with all the animals, really introduced America to some of the wild, exotic animals.
That was one of my favorite parts of Johnny Carson.
Of course.
I love that segment.
Joan Embry. And, hey, Joan, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Looking at this picture of you, this either has to be a picture of you when you were 17 years old or you just don't get older. And I'm thinking it's the latter because I did see you on a just recently with Jay Leno on a tribute to Johnny Carson. What is the deal? Are you and Dick Clark seem to be on the same vitamins?
You know, I think we both keep incredibly busy and we're real passionate about our work and you just kind of stay focused and...
Stay young.
You don't stop.
Yeah, well, of course, you are well known as the ambassador, or were the ambassador for the San Diego Zoo, but most importantly, you're just an all-around pet lover, animal lover, aren't you?
I'm into every aspect, and I mean every aspect. I live on a horse ranch, which includes, of course, my domestic animals. I have Labrador Retriever, Yellow Lab, and I have a Weimaraner, and I have a Bengal cat, not Bengal tiger, Bengal cat.
Oh, what's the difference? I mean,
it comes in and out of my house. It's a domestic cat.
It is a
but
domestic.
But it's F1, first cross, is with a wild cat. So it has a wild look to it, but it's kind of, you know, it's a domestic cat with a little bit of wild to it. His spots, and it looks rather exotic, but he has an indoor-outdoor enclosure, and they all sleep in bed with me every night.
So really?
It's a big family.
Now, does your husband mind that you share the bed with so many animals?
No, we just got the biggest bed we can find because they all pile in, especially on cold nights. And they like the comfort of it, of course, but they have their own beds, but they kind of sneak in. Probably the most unusual was a pea hen. Well, we didn't know what it was when it came, but it was a little pea fowl chick, and we were raising it, and we put it in a basket on our headboard, and it kept getting bigger and bigger, and it would perch there every night, totally content, and sleep. And then in the morning when it woke up, I would put it out, and it got pretty good size before we finally said, okay, time to move out.
Cats didn't bother it?
No, our animals all get along pretty... We kind of are the mediators.
Uh-huh.
It's like, at one point we had a wallaroo in bed and it had diapers and it was being bottle fed. And it was also growing and it got to the point it would hop around the bedroom and then jump up on the bed. And my yellow lab was sound asleep and the wallaroo came, you know, flying up in a, you know, totally awake, wanting to play, jumping on and off the bed, and it jumped right on top of the lab and she wheeled around and growled at it, and I said, "Traveler, don't you hurt that baby." And, you know, she kind of cowed down, and the wallaroo came over and grabbed a hold of her and thumped her with his back feet about three times before she knew what hit her. And from then on, he had complete, you know, control of the whole situation.
How many animals are on your ranch?
We have 30 exotics,
wow.
What I call my wildlife ambassadors, that we use for educational programs about the environment. I have the champion Brahma bull,
wow.
Dexter steer, a llama, about a 700-pound Duroc sow, a Hampshire sheep. These are animals that I bought from the 4-H kids who now lobby every year for me to buy their animals because they know that they live forever on my ranch. So I'm involved in every aspect of animals.
Was it true that people drop off animals at your ranch?
They do, and I'm on the board for Project Wildlife, so luckily I have a venue where I can hopefully move them on, because having animals and you know what's involved in protecting them and with emerging disease and all of the issues that we face, anything that gets dropped off here has to go in for a complete veterinary evaluation,
mm-hmm.
immunizations, and then you have to find a home for it. So ideally, I get them into a wildlife rehab. And that's one area that I don't get into just because of the time and because of the number of animals I have here that, you know, we monitor their health.
Do you have anybody helping you there?
I do. I mean, I have two full-time employees in my wildlife compound. I have two full-time employees that work with the horses, a trainer, horse trainer that works with me, and a secretary, a handyman, some few
and
people.
And a husband.
And a husband who's, of course, totally immersed in it all. And we have a new institute. It's the Joan Embry Institute for Wildlife Conservation.
And is it a nonprofit?
It's a nonprofit, and it focuses on connecting people to wildlife and wildlife challenges, and hopefully give them opportunities and venues to get involved, learn more, and get involved, and to see where sometimes, you know, even the smallest contribution can have an impact.
Website for that?
I do have a website, and I'm just building it, so you'll see, well, the horses are on there, the institute, some of the projects are on there, which include, I'm on the board for the Wildlife Health Center for the veterinary school at UC Davis, and they work in wildlife health and conflict between humans and wildlife issues and trying to understand through science approach how to deal with them. One good example is the mountain lion here in California.
Mm-hmm.
We have a 5-year study. Currently, as of January this year, 8 mountain lions have been collared in San Diego County.
Wow.
To understand their movements and how they interface with humans and also our endangered bighorn sheep, which fall prey to the mountain lion. So we're trying to understand their activities and understand what are the important corridors that they use. How can we provide for mountain lions and balance the needs of mountain lions with humans? I also work with a veterinary department in Tanzania, the Tanzania National Parks, who monitor health throughout the country and the interface with wildlife and domestic animals. And I collect veterinary supplies and computer supplies and things that help them accomplish their work out on the Serengeti and the 13 other parks. So about 25% of Tanzania is dedicated to wildlife management.
Very good.
Disease monitoring and veterinary aspects are increasingly important in the success of those programs. So on the River Park here in San Diego, we're trying to connect open spaces through our San Diego River as a corridor to reclaim and protect our watershed and provide for wildlife corridors from one state or county park or open space preserve to another. So those are just the Anzabrego Foundation and Institute, which educates people about our parks and the resources that they hold and the science that goes on there. That's the largest state park in California. It comprises about 17% of San Diego County, and a lot of people think that deserts are just big voids, and in fact, there are incredible resources there. So the Institute is a new entity under the foundation to bring science and people together.
Very good. Now, do you still have your cheetah that walks on a leash?
I have two cheetahs, a female and a male.
Uh-huh.
They're very well trained. Not only do they walk on a leash and walk up on a stage in front of large audiences, and on television, as with Jay Leno a month or two ago, but have even flown in a Learjet to New York for programs. So they're pretty good, but they're still wild animals.
Uh-huh.
We always have to remind people when they see them behaving so perfectly that they are a wild animal. They can become frightened, and they can act very wild at times.
Do they travel well?
The cheetah travels very well. We start them very young. We crate train them just as you would your dog to feel comfortable, to feel that that's their home away from home, and they're very comfortable in their crates. They actually, many of the animals like to, get in their crates and go because particularly cheetahs, they're very visually oriented, and I think they find it somewhat entertaining. Kind of like watching TV or going on a road trip for kids, all new sights and sounds.
Have you ever been injured or bitten or by any of your animals?
Oh, I've been kicked and bitten and slapped and horned and...
Just the husband.
Stomped and everything that can happen. And most of that occurs, actually, I think, in the training process, tends not to happen too much on television or with animals that we put up on a stage because they're pretty well trained at that point.
Uh-huh.
But in the process of getting to that point, or even, like for instance, cutting horses or jumping horses and all the things that I've done, you're always kind of in competition. You're kind of pushing the limits, and so ultimately, you're going to miss a fence or your horse is going to turn on a cow and you're going to, get unseated or something's going to happen or you're going to be breeding a horse and the feet are flying or you know, the bears kick in, or, you know, there's just things that happen when you're around wildlife.
Right, right.
Well, it sure does sound like you're staying busy.
Just a little.
We are just about out of time. I want to give out the website one more time. It's joanembry.com, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what else are we going to find there?
Well, okay, you're going to... I have some of my horses up on the site. I have my wildlife ambassadors. A little bit about, we're putting together a newsletter right now, what we've been doing since the first of the year. I think we've got the Rose Parade on there.
Wow.
We have some television pictures with Johnny Carson and Jay Leno. And what else do we see? We have the ranch, and we have some of the top projects that I'm working with, and links to all of the websites for everything from Ann Zabrego Foundation, EnviroVet, Wildlife Health Center, so that you can just move on to all sorts of venues.
Well, you keep coming back on Jay Leno because I love watching it, and I love when you're on. I think that's one of the best parts of the show is when you bring your animals up.
Television is very challenging, but it gives us the opportunity to reach large numbers of people.
Uh-huh.
And so it also takes animals that are on television right into people's living rooms and bedrooms, and with the cameras they have today, I mean, you know, they can get close-up shots that are incredible. It's a great opportunity to showcase.
If somebody wants to help you out, they don't have money, but they want to volunteer or learn a little more about what you're doing, do you accept volunteers?
Actually, we're just starting our program for that, so I would love to have people kind of sign on or let me know their level of interest, and they can just email me, and we're kind of putting together a group so we can start that process.
There you go.
Okay. Me and Hal will be there next month.
If you live in the L.A., you're listening on coast or around San Diego or all the way up the coast, you want to volunteer with Joan Embry and some of the animals that she's working with, the website's joanembry.com. We're going to put a link from animalradio.com. Please keep in touch with us. And I don't know if you know this, your husband invited us down there.
Oh, sure. You can come. My husband invites everybody.
We hopefully will be in that area during May, and perhaps we'll get a chance to drop by. And,
oh, there's lots to see.
Check it out.
Yeah, actually, I'm just heading out now to get on a helicopter to go photograph our backcountry for my website. So you'll see what I pick up today on helicopter as soon as we can get it online.
Very exciting.
Wow.
Joan, please keep in touch.
Oh, thank you.
There's more Animal Radio on the way. 1-866-405-8405 is the number. I don't know, Judy, how are you going to top this one?
I don't know. You know, it just keeps getting harder and harder with these great guests.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Meantime, get your fix at animalradio.com.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Underwriting comes from the American Anti-Vivisection Society. Learn more by calling 1-800-729-2287. That's 1-800-SAY-AAVS.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Always fun to have a guest like Joan Embry on the air.
Oh, wasn't she great?
Absolutely awesome, and I remember her from the Carson days.
Oh, yeah. I watched her all the time.
1-866-405-8405. I'm just looking through this morning's newspaper, and I see that, well, there's a couple of great news stories. They say that animals laugh. They actually laugh. They exhibit
really?
Play sounds that resemble human laughter.
No.
And researchers think the impulse to laugh predates humans, actually. And they say that rat laughter is linked to the neurotransmitter dopamine's release, just like in people.
Well, I wonder what rat laughter sounds like.
I wonder.
That's what it must sound like, huh?
Is that was that the Budweiser ferret?
We have them here on the show. We have them all. Well, you know what I was reading recently?
Well, I have no clue. What,
okay. I was reading about a girl who was driving down Interstate 15 in Idaho. She had gone about 10 miles. She was alone in her car, and a man kept following her. And he kept pulling up aside, next to her, pointing to the roof of her car. And she was a little weary because he kept staying with her. And she, you know, she thought maybe her ski rack had come loose. But the guy was pretty persistent, so she finally agreed to pull over. So she pulled over the side of the road. She was a little weary because this man started approaching her car. She left her windows rolled up, her engine running, her door locked. Just kind of cracked the window.
Stalker,
and,
huh?
Yeah, she didn't, you know, she was out there all alone on this interstate. And, you know, women got to be careful.
Yeah.
So he walked up to the side of her car, and, you know, she was getting a little weary and a little frightened. He reached up on top of her car and pulled down and handed to her her cat.
What happened?
It seems the cat had, when she was ready to leave her home, the cat got in the car and she put him out, and she didn't know it, but the cat jumped up on the roof. And during this 10-mile trip, she had even stopped for gas.
Didn't notice the cat on the roof.
Didn't notice the cat. And she got on the interstate for 10 miles with this cat hanging on. So good thing she pulled over. So
that's a great story.
Yeah,
I'm glad the cat's okay.
The cat is fine, yes.
It actually brought tears to your eyes.
Yes, little cuddle bug is now home and safe and fine. And I don't think he'll be taking any more car trips.
1-866-405-8405. It's the Aunt Penny line is ringing. Aunt Penny? Are you there? I thought I heard the phone just cut out.
The phone cut out.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What happened? We actually lost power on the phones. I don't know if that's going to work there.
Oh, really?
It's live radio.
Oh, yes.
And are we trying to get her back? Because I'm not sure that's going to work. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break.
Yep. We lost
we'll
Penny.
Figure out what's happening with the phones, and we'll be right back right after this on Animal Radio. Hang in there, okay?
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Would you believe? Would you believe?
Was it the cat?
It was the cat. Aunt Penny, are you there?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Here, try her again. Let's find out what's going on here. Trying to get in touch with Aunt Penny. We just actually got an email that said that she was...
Let's try this again.
She was... Okay, we're going to try it again. Aunt Penny, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, my gosh. Something wrong with the phones there.
And it wasn't even something I said.
No. It only happens live, too.
Right.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. You?
I'm doing fine. What's it like there in Florida today?
As a matter of fact, today is a little muggy, but it's been glorious.
We got email. I was just telling everybody that we got email. They said that you're the most lovable character on this radio show here.
Am I really?
Believe that or not?
Yes,
That doesn't come to me as really a surprise, though.
Are you a little prejudiced, maybe?
No, maybe a little bit.
Just a little.
Did you hear Joan Embry?
I heard part of her, and I'm familiar with her trips. With her animals.
From Johnny Carson?
Yeah. And I always found them very enjoyable, and clearly she's concerned for animals, but I'm a little surprised that she embarrassed them so.
She embarrassed Carson?
No, the animals.
Oh.
Oh, why is that?
Well, would you want to be displayed to the world without a stitch on?
No, of course. In the buff? You mean nothing around on television with
on
the hot lights?
On national TV?
Yeah.
No, that would be, I would be embarrassed too.
There you go.
And then, I don't know if you noticed that some of them actually would go to the bathroom on Johnny Carson.
Well, wouldn't you if you were that embarrassed?
Yeah, I sure would. And that's embarrassing alone.
What do you think of people who want their animals or any animals clothed?
Clothed? I actually see it around here a lot. And there's actually stores, high-end stores that... People dress up their dogs and their cats.
It's a big business.
It is big business.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a little bit silly.
Well, you know, I used to, when I was a little girl, I had kittens and I would dress them in my baby doll clothes.
Well, every little kid tries to put things on. My daughter always was devising things to drape around the animals, and fortunately they were very patient and understanding.
She would dress them up in what?
Anything she could find to stuff them into. Socks, scarves, hats, tutus, anything she could find. And if she did it, they were very happy with her.
I love the sock idea. I never thought about that.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever, did you ever let your animal sleep in bed with you?
Yes, I had one in particular who, I think animals understand actual words.
Yes. And what words did they understand?
Well, this one, his name was Dickie. And he slept on my bed, and every time when we got ready to turn the light off, I'd say, now remember, on my feet. And he'd just look at me patiently, and I'd wake in the night with him on the pillow and me not.
A familiar story.
And I would say to him, Dickie, on the feet. And he would get up and very slowly trudge down to my feet.
We want to hear, if your animal sleeps with you, 1-866-405-8405, or if your animal dresses up, or you dress up your animal, 1-866-405-8405. And Penny, we need to run, but I'll try to call you next week on the station's dime, okay?
Okay, kids. Be
there
good.
Go.
Bye, Penny.
Coming up next hour, Darlene Arden. We'll see you around.
This is Animal Radio Network.
It's my favorite part of the show. It's
the phone callers.
Well, I'm using them as a crutch.
Oh, to buy time?
To buy 1-866-405-8405. It really is the favorite part of my show because I like yapping with the listeners.
Yeah, well, it's nice to know that we have listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Listener, are you there?
Yes.
Which listener is this?
This is Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Judy.
That's my name.
A couple of Judys here, huh?
Yeah. Where are you calling from,
Judy? Hi, Judy.
Hi.
I'm calling from Twin Falls, Idaho.
Well, listening on KSLJ, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
What is your question today?
Well, I was looking to get a pet that was something different. I've had dogs, many dogs in the past, and I was thinking of getting a ferret this time.
Ooh.
Adopting a ferret, actually, but I don't know that much about them, and I wondered, are they really good pets?
You know, I've never had a ferret.
What, you're looking at me? You don't have any answers there?
Well, no, I do. I've never had a ferret because I lived in California most of my life, and they are illegal.
In California?
In California.
But that may change someday.
It may. Well,
there's certainly an underground.
Yeah, we'll see what Schwarzenegger does with that. But and they are illegal in New York, so I would suggest the first thing you do is check to see the legality for Idaho.
Yeah, there's probably no. They allow anybody into Idaho.
Yeah,
don't they?
I think so. I think Idaho is one of those states.
Idaho and Montana.
but from what I hear, ferrets make very good pets.
They do. They're very cuddly. They smell a little bit. I've noticed. I have neighbors who have them. They are a little bit smelly, but they are fairly clean and they keep themselves clean. And they're actually pretty cute little animals to have. And they definitely are different.
Yes.
Why not a cactus, ma'am? A cactus might be a good pet. That's what I start off with.
A little more abrasive than a ferret, I think.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have any children?
No, they're grown.
Okay, good. Because ferrets don't make really good pets for
they
young...
they don't?
Not for young children. No. Ferrets really need to be supervised all the time.
Really?
Yeah. They don't... You shouldn't keep them in the cage a lot, but...
Big chewers, aren't they?
I'm not sure if they're real big chewers, but they... they get stressed very easily.
How about an iguana, ma'am?
I had one of those already.
Oh, I already did one of those. Okay, I'm just trying to pick a different animal.
They have a... Actually, ferrets have an attention span of about a two-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yes. You can litter train them for their cage. You want to make sure that they get out. They're very social animals. But when they get out, they're like a two-year-old. They start playing, and they forget, and they have their little accidents.
Yeah.
So you might...
Would it be better to get more than one?
Ooh.
I would suggest that you do get at least two. I think the companionship with them to have a friend is very important. I don't know if you're gone a lot, if you're work during the day. And
how about a chimpanzee, ma'am?
I might consider that. Or no, thank you, I have a husband.
Well, get him some company.
And you know, I want to correct something that Hal said.
Uh-oh.
They are not always clean.
Oh, really?
No. They get a little dirty. They're just not meticulously clean.
Oh. Is that why they smell sometimes?
No, that's just something in their makeup and their chemical. They can smell a little musky.
They are cute, though.
Yes. And I would suggest that you make sure that if you do get a ferret, that you also keep a little cash on hand for vet visits.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it might take you a while to find a vet that will
specialize in ferrets
and work with ferrets.
Now, do you get your ferrets spayed and neutered?
Yes, you do.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, you do. And because the average cost of an emergency visit to the vet is about $500 for a ferret.
Oh, really?
Yes. So make sure that you have money socked away for that. But I'd still recommend it. They're very cuddly. They're very affectionate.
And there's probably some good websites too.
Yes, and they bond really well with their humans.
Oh, good. So well, that's an A-OK for the ferret suggestion there. Let us know how that works if you do get a ferret, and then we can see if we were right or wrong.
Yeah. Can you tell me who I would call to find out if they're allowed here?
Let me see. I'll tell you what. We'll do a little research right now off the air, and we'll find out what the legality is, and we'll tell you. As soon as we find out here, we're actually going to go online and Google it for you.
Thank you.
We're experts here.
Yeah. What did we do before the computer?
I don't know.
I have no clue.
Okay,
hold on one second.
Hands with a string in between?
Yeah, I think that's how we did it. We'll get the information for you, and we'll let everyone know. Hold on one second, okay? 1-866-405-8405 is the number.
I'm talking about my dog, Chance, and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
This is Animal Heart Radio Network.
Hey, Judy, are you there?
I am.
Okay, we just went online. We found out they are perfectly legal in Idaho.
Great.
Along with hedgehogs. You were asking a little bit about hedgehogs, too. They are legal, and there's plenty of great online sites that will help you select a ferret, help you find different vaccinations that you need for ferrets, and all the information you need. All you got to do, really, is put ferret in Google, and I find a good dozen great sites that pop up immediately.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Have fun with your new ferret.
Yeah, and send us pictures. Let us know if it works.
I will.
And if it doesn't work out, call and say, you know what, your suggestion really was bum. It didn't work out.
You're fired. Yes.
We'll take the ferret off your hands in that case.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute.
Don't you want a ferret here in the studio, a studio ferret?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be neat to have a studio ferret, don't you think?
I'd love it. I think we should have a couple of them.
Definitely, and we should add a cactus to it anyway, because I think cactus are cool.
What about a hedgehog?
There you go. Ooh. A studio hedgehog.
There you go. This would be a real animal zoo.
By the way, I did Google ferret, and about a dozen really good sites came up, as I had mentioned earlier. Of course, half of them were X-rated.
No.
Animal Radio Network, brought to you by Frontline Plus. They're proud, too. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks. I was supposed to say that.
You did very well.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Ears. You can borrow my ears.
I like your little bunny ears. I don't have any ears.
It's too bad. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. For those of you mid-conversation, if you've seen us, you know that our headphones all have ears on top.
Well, not all of them.
Well, except yours.
Yes, mine don't.
You lost yours.
I lost my ears.
You lost your ears.
De-eared.
De-eared. It's Animal Radio Network and Animal Radio. I'm Hal.
I'm Judy.
And we're very delighted to have a very special guest from Suncoast. Oh, gee, Suncoast Humane Society. And I'm not even sure where that is. I'm thinking Suncoast. That must be like maybe Florida or something. Is that a good guess?
Sounds like it.
That's a real good guess.
Is it a good guess? Okay. And that, of course, is the voice of Deborah Parsons Drake. How are you doing, Deborah?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Very well. Where in Florida are we calling you?
You are calling me in a little community called Englewood, which is in southwest Florida. We service about 450 square miles of southwest Florida in Sarasota County, Charlotte County, and the Lee County area.
A very beautiful part of the country.
It is. It was until last year, anyway.
Yeah. Are you recovering from the hurricanes?
We are doing well. Our shelter was the one that sort of centralized all of the relief efforts for the first hurricane, and then we subsequently ended up with the next three picking up pieces. But we're coming around.
Yeah, a lot of adversity, but you've done very well.
Yes, we have. We learned a lot of lessons, but you know, like everything else, nobody could do it alone. Our shelter worked in collaboration with so many other agencies that stepped up. It was just a beautiful thing, in spite of the nastiness.
Very good, very good. Well, we're talking to you today about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. We have a neighbor, and I guess I hope they're listening. Maybe... We have a neighbor who...
We'll blast it.
They chain up their dog all day. And it just seems like such a miserable existence for the dog who has worn kind of a circle in the grass and really doesn't get a lot of socializing. The kids come home from school and they'll pass by and the dog will bark at them and sometimes they'll stop. But it looks like a pretty miserable existence, and that's what we call a backyard dog. And you have a little info on backyard dogs for us.
I do. First, I'd like to sort of address the definition of a backyard dog.
Okay.
There are dogs that are chained, that live outside, that are not necessarily backyard dogs. They're something worse than backyard dogs. Mm-hmm. The problem here is that we as a nation grew up with a lot of farming mm-hmm. and a lot of outdoor existence. And over the years, we now spend about 75% less of our time in our yards. In the country, where, you know, we all sort of got our roots, you're out in the yard, you're in the fields, you're riding horses, you're working in the gardens, and your animals were outside with you. Mm-hmm. So we all grew up accepting that an animal belonged outside because that's where they spent the majority of their time with us. Mm-hmm. What has happened is we have evolved, but we have not allowed the animals to evolve with us, and in many cases people still believe that the animals belong outside. Mm-hmm. So there's a problem with backyard dogs, dogs that are relegated to being in the backyard, who suffer miserably by the lack of human contact. That in itself creates a lot of problems. And then there are the chained dogs, which, you know, is an even worse thing for the animals.
Dogs are pack animals. They need socialization. They need to be with people or other dogs. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct.
So when I see this dog across the street all alone, it's not good for several reasons. One, he's chained up. But he's also has no social life.
That's right. And that lack of social life is causing behavioral problems. It's probably causing psychological problems. And the dog's existence is miserable. When and if they decide that they want to do something about it, the dog may be too far gone to correct the problem.
Really?
You know, an animal that has... We think in terms of dogs being protectors. Dogs protect their environment. If you want a dog that's going to be a guard dog, they're going to protect your property, they're going to live outdoors, and that means that they're going to let the burglar into your house because the house is not theirs to protect.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So if you think that you're by putting the dog out in the yard, it's going to be a guard dog, probably not, right?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Probably 90% of the indoor dogs deter about 90% of all household break-ins.
Oh,
indoor dogs deter.
Uh-huh.
Outdoor dogs don't, because they're not protecting the house. The house is not theirs. Why should they bother?
What about the people that say, I don't want the dog in the house?
Well, if they don't want the dog in the house, then they ought to look at that. Why do they want a dog, period? You know, a dog that lives outside, they're bored, they're lonely. One, they're going to bark repeatedly,
uh-huh.
annoy the neighbors. Two, they're going to dig. They're going to chew at themselves because they're bored. They don't get the exercise they need. They can potentially injure themselves trying to escape. If they're chained up and another animal gets into their property, they can't escape harm's reach.
Ooh.
They're tied up and a dog comes into their property, they can't do a thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs that are in the backyard are subject to unwanted pregnancies.
Yeah, I didn't think about that one.
Okay.
What? Let's say we have a change of heart. We want, we want to change things around. What can we do and how much time should we be spending with our animals so that they are socialized and feeling good mentally?
People come into the shelter, for example, to adopt an animal. They come in, they take the dog for a walk. To them, that's what they think that they're going to be doing. Stop and think about even the perfect household with the animals. The animals are going to spend about 80% of their time being couch potatoes, sitting under your feet while you're at the computer, laying at your feet while you're watching television, laying on the floor with your kids. It is an inactive, sedate life for about 75% of the animals that are in households now.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give the animals exercise. So, yes, walking a dog is a wonderful thing, but that is not where you're going to spend all of your time with your animal. You need to teach the animals to be happy just being in your company. They have to know that you are the leader of the pack. So when an outdoor dog comes in, you have to train them on what is and is not going to be acceptable. House training is a major issue. An animal that has lived most of his life out of doors is going to be extremely difficult to train, to house train, because they've never effectively been on a schedule. They just go whenever the mood strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a dog that has been living outside is going to be much more difficult to train because there has never been the human-animal bond that makes it easy to communicate.
Well, it's kind of a vicious cycle. They don't bring the dog in because the dog misbehaves, and they
right.
tie him up in the yard. They don't want to be around the dog because they don't like the way the dog behaves. But...
And it becomes progressively worse.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bottom line is an outdoor dog has an address. They don't have a home.
Oh, I like that. That's well put.
A dog needs to have a home. They need to be a part of your household. You know, you leave a dog outside, they are going to be subject to potential aggression. You know, kids that walk by your yard and taunt the dog are going to cause the dog to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs that are outside are going to be more subject to disease, picking it up from wildlife that may be in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the dogs, cattle, horses, anything you see outside. What do? They get bit by flies.
Oof.
Fly bites on the ears are one of the worst things that an outdoor animal has, because then they get open wounds. And eventually they can even have maggots living in those wounds. It doesn't kill them, but it's miserable.
What if you see a neighbor who treats their animal like this and doesn't look like it's going to change?
The laws, unfortunately, do not require an animal to be loved. Hmm. Dogs are still considered property. So the law requires that an outdoor dog has protection from the weather. They have to have some kind of a house. They have to have three walls to protect them from the... frostbite exposure. They have to have water, and they have to have food, and that's it.
Basics.
So the only thing that we really have is to try to educate people, to let them know that if for some reason you do this to your dog, you get a puppy, the puppy makes a mess in the house, you gradually start leaving it outside more and more, and then eventually it becomes an outdoor dog because now it's always dirty, now it's always got fleas on it, so you don't want it in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The cycle is going to end unpleasantly because that dog is going to become desocialized. You're going to eventually decide that you no longer want the dog. You're going to turn it into a humane society. why is anybody else going to want your problem?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't do anything with it, so that little puppy, 9 months, 10 months, 11 months later, you decide, well, we made a mistake. You take it into the shelter. It's not trained. It's not socialized to humans. You know, it's scared to death because it's, you know, it doesn't know the loving hand of an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it to a shelter and you expect that the shelter is going to be able to work miracles and find a wonderful home for this beautiful little black lab. It doesn't work that way.
No.
So education is the only way for people to understand. And, you know, I have several neighbors that do this with their animals. I finally decided I couldn't change the way they think, but I make it a point to go and provide that animal the socialization that I can offer. I found neighborhood children that were willing to go over and walk these people's dogs.
And the neighbors,
they would take them out.
The owners were willing to.
And the owners were willing to let that happen.
Huh.
So, you know, eventually, I guess a squeaky wheel. They wanted to get rid of me, maybe. I don't know. But all you can do is try to let them know that, please understand, this is the way an animal thinks, an animal works. We have all grown up in this world that says when the dog piddles on the floor, you stick their nose in it and you swack them with a newspaper. I'm old enough to remember that as the means of training, and that doesn't work because we have to learn to think like a dog. A dog is a pack animal. He needs his pack. There is no reason for a backyard dog. Now, having said that, my dogs have a dog door. They can come and go from inside to outside anytime they want.
Mm-hmm.
They love being outside. I come home and frequently find them laying on the pool deck on one of my chairs in the sun, you know? But they have the choice.
Right.
And when I'm home, I have a dog sitting behind me in my chair, literally behind me in my chair. I have one laying on my feet, and I have another one sitting across the room staring at me. And that's where they spend most of their time. When I sit at a computer, they're all in their respective places. They're just a part of my life.
We're talking with Deborah Parsons-Drake, and we're just about out of time here. Go ahead, give us a parting shot. What would you suggest?
An outdoor dog has an address, not a home. Make them a part of your household. Make them a part of your home.
Thanks so much for spending time with us, Deborah Parsons-Drake from the Suncoast Humane Society in Englewood, Florida. We appreciate your time and hope to have you on again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around.
And did I say that next week is Randy Graham?
With Quentin, the miracle dog.
This is very cool. The dog that survived the gas chamber will be joining us next week.
Amazing.
I want to thank everybody that came out to Denver. Our remote in Denver,
our
appearance.
Friendly America tour. Yeah.
That was awesome at the Canine Rehabilitation Center in Englewood. Very awesome place. If you live in Denver, you want to check it out sooner or later.
Even if you don't have dogs, it was fun just to watch the dogs there play in the pool and everything. It was amazing.
And they don't have to be sick to go there. They can go there just for fun.
Just for exercise.
Just for exercise. Hang out in the pool in Denver. Where will we stop next? Well, we're on our way towards California. This May we'll be in perhaps Southern California.
Southern California?
Or Central California?
Somewhere in California.
All the details come into our website, which is animalradio.com. As soon as we figure them out, we'll tell you. That's how. See, it's not that we don't know. It's that we don't know.
You know, I have a news story that I was reading that I want to share with you. It kind of caught my eye. There was a man in Michigan that was shot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. And why news? You know, why headline news? What's so different about this story?
Doesn't that happen pretty frequently?
Yeah. Well, in this case, he was shot by his cat.
Huh?
It's true.
What happened? A little altercation? I don't want nine lives anymore.
Yeah. Well, he was actually cooking in his kitchen, and why he had a loaded gun on his counter, I can only imagine.
The cat was checking it out?
Yeah, the cat got on the counter and unfortunately knocked the gun off the counter, hit the floor, and it shot him.
Where? I gotta ask.
Shot him in the torso.
In the torso?
And, yeah, that's all I know, and I don't know his condition. I'm sure he's probably going to be okay. And his cat, well, you know, you got to keep those guns locked up from your cats and your kids.
That ranks up there with the story you had earlier last hour about the cat that traveled around in somebody's car for a little while.
On the rooftop, 10 miles on an interstate.
And stopped for gas. They didn't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Very strange story. We should post these stories on, I got an idea. How about the LA Pet Press? Let's post them there. Pick that up in Los Angeles. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Lori, for treating us to those great stories.
Yes, thank you.
And let's see. Coming up, we have Darlene Arden, right?
We do. She's going to be coming up at the end of the hour. Yes, she is.
Do we know what's on her mind, ever?
Do you know that this month is Pets Are Wonderful month?
Oh, well, let's say. What's so different?
Yes.
Pets are always wonderful.
That's true. They are around here. They're wonderful every day.
Very good.
Every month.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Meantime, get your fix at animalradio.com.
I love all the goodies we get for good stuff for great pets.
Isn't that fun?
And to be able to pass them on to the listeners, also very awesome. We have Alex Fisher of Planet Dog back with us again. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm great, guys. How are you today?
Very well,
good.
Thank you.
Hi, Alex.
We just got your latest shipment of Recyclabones. Which
excellent.
These are great. First of all, they smell very minty. Is that are they supposed to smell minty, or did I just put them too close to my gum?
That's right. You're storing them by your toothpaste in your bathroom, maybe. No, we infuse them with a peppermint oil, which obviously gives them a real, real sense of peppermint, which sort of helps it as a curiosity toy to a dog to have that kind of scent. Obviously, as you know, dogs have great olfactory senses, and they really do like the smell of peppermint. So that's why we chose that smell, and they sure do smell like it. You should smell our warehouse.
I can imagine.
No, you should smell our prize closet.
Yeah, we put them in the prize closet, and the whole prize closet smells of peppermint. We are talking with Alex Fisher of Planet Dog. And Planet Dog, if you're new to the show and you haven't heard before, is a great organization that creates toys and all kinds of goodies for animals, but does so with the environment in mind, thus the name. Plus, not to mention that a percentage of annual profits go to 501c3 nonprofit organizations committed to the animals.
That's exactly right. Pretty much everything we do at Planet Dog is driven by our desire to remain committed to the natural environment with some social responsibility with our community as well. Whether it be product development or even growing our business and our any other aspect of our business, we try to maintain a sense of what would feel good to us at the end of the day.
Which is really great, because there's a lot of big companies that don't do that.
Right. It is great. It's actually becoming a bigger challenge the bigger we get. When it was just two of us in 97, it was easier for me to be sure that just the two of us were making the right decisions. But today we have closer to 45, 50 employees and maybe 15 more sales, full-time salespeople on the road all across the state. So we now have a culture that we have to sort of teach and share with our people, but we think we've refined this culture, and this culture is appealing to a certain kind of person that there's not a lot of educating that needs to go on when someone comes into our new family. Usually they're attracted to our business because they're aware of sort of practices we do.
Well, your motto is think globally, act doggedly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I like that. The recycle ball that I have in my hand right now.
It's so hard to believe it's made from recycled material.
Yeah, what are the recycled materials?
Well, it's a thermoplastic elastomer, which is a fancy name for a sort of a rubbery plastic. We use this material for a majority of our bouncy rubbery toys called Orbi toys. And the unique thing about this material is it can be fully recycled. So if I have some scraps from what I would call the cookie sheet when I'm making all my different products, what ordinarily might be thrown out can be remelted, reground, and turned into something else. So anytime I have a factory defect or anytime I have any kind of scraps, or if I have a customer whose dog has enjoyed their toy for a long time and has eventually begun to be able to destroy it, which isn't very often because they're very durable, our customers are always encouraged to send them back. We melt them down and make a new item with it. And that's just what this recycle ball and recycle bone are.
They're very cool. Earth Day is coming up April 22nd. What do you guys got planned?
Well, we always have something planned for Earth Day. It's obviously a special day for us that we always like to acknowledge, but at the same time, here at Planet Dog, we like to consider that Earth Day is every day. I know we're doing some promotions with our local retailers and certainly doing some things on our website, planetdog.com, and for sure we'll be pointing out some of the great products that really would speak to Earth Day, like our EnviroBones, or RecycleBone and RecycleBalls.
Very, very cool. Okay. If people want to learn more about Planet Dog, because if you have a choice between going to a company that starts with K and getting one of those balls, and this one right here, you want to pick the Planet Dog one because they have a conscience about the environment.
Right.
And that's so very, very important, especially to teach our children about that. The website is, what is it, Alex?
It is www.planetdog.com. Simple to remember, and one of my favorite things when people begin to discover Planet Dog and what we're all about, you'll see the further you dig, the neater you'll find our company to be. And
what about cats? I have people always saying you're talking about Planet Dog, but what about cats?
Well, cats are part of our culture as well, for sure. We know that about 65-70% of our customers, our dog friends, have cats too. I'm a cat lover. It began with Planet Dog. It began with Planet Dog because that's really what I knew well. I'd always been a dog person, and I had two labs at that point, and I guess you have to start somewhere. But it wasn't much later, in maybe 99-2000, when we introduced Planet Cat, and we have a full line of wonderful products, also made from our Orbi materials. We make some great cat beds and among a bunch of other really neat things. One of our Orbi products we actually infuse with catnip oil. It's in the shape of a mouse, and it really tends to get the cats going a little batty.
We've got to get some of those.
Well, you know, we have four cats that are actually studio cats. They're always in the studio. And one is sitting right next to me right now smelling this dog toy, the RecycleBone.
That's right. Well, the peppermint's a curiosity to the cat, too, but you'll find that the catnip oil is a real curiosity to the cat. So, you know, they both have special needs. Dogs like bigger, fetchier type items, and cats like little, lighter items that they can pounce and swat around. And so actually that, from that aspect, the development part of designing products that are specific for cats has been a real learning experience for us. It's been a whole bunch of fun.
Very good. Planet Dog is the website. And Alex Fisher from Planet Dog, you're always welcome on the show. We're going to give some of these away.
Yes,
of
we
course.
Are. Of course, we always do. Yes.
1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405. And how many?
I think we have about five.
Five of these to give away.
Five. You know what I like about them is they have that little hole so you can stick the treat in there to drive the dogs crazy.
You're right. Put a treat, a little peanut butter, and that'll keep the curiosity going for quite a while.
It'll keep them occupied.
The combination of peanut butter and mint, I'll tell you something.
Hey, that's exactly right.
Alex, we appreciate your time. There's more great stuff for great pets on the way right here on Animal Radio.
Oh, and don't forget. Oh, sorry about that. Don't forget about the Mega Adoption, June 25th. Someone's holding up a sign to me. They say I don't mention it enough. The Mega Adoption at Johnny Carson Park in Burbank.
There you go. 400 Bob Hope Drive.
Is that the address?
I believe so.
That's pretty good that you remember that. We have, of course, all the information on animalradio.com because I couldn't remember it. They have to put it somewhere. As well as information about all the guests.
Signs all over the studio
that
for
we've
you.
Had on. Yeah, well, you know. Plus, you know what else is up there? Is a webcam, which you've been flashing for the entire morning.
You missed it. Now I'm going to behave. Now that you told everybody.
Yeah, you can actually see the show being done at animalradio.com. It's done. We have Rayanne Cumulos on the way. In fact, we'll go to her next. But Darlene Arden, in just a few minutes, will be talking to us about...
Pets are wonderful month.
But we know that.
I know. They're wonderful all the time.
We need some earth-shattering news around here is what we need. Rayanne Cumulos from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Always wonderful to have her on the show and her little mythological take on life. I really like it. And she's talking about the butterfly today.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. Frail, fragile as a cobweb, with wings of painted gauze that fill before the winds like the sails of phantom ships. What could look less hardy and capable of withstanding the extremes of weather than these children of the sun, the butterflies? Yet to the ends of the earth they go, over the tops of the loftiest snow-covered peaks, to the burning deserts, to the deep dark bottoms of the steaming tropical swamps. This elegant description of the butterfly, taken from a 1929 account by a Mr. Dallas Lore Sharp, captures the spirit of butterfly. Not in a net so that fragile wings may be pinned to paper for some heartless project, but in words that express the essence of these floating jeweled creatures that grace garden and pasture. In the butterfly is found a presence that speaks of joy, light, and the element of air, as well as tenacity, courage, and the transformative power to embrace change. Butterflies are from the genus Lepidoptera, which means scaly wings. There are over 15,000 species of butterflies found on every continent but Antarctica. One of the most popular is the monarch, the only butterfly species that migrates. Every year, millions of monarchs migrate thousands of miles from Mexico to Canada, traveling twice as fast as a human can walk, a journey their forebears have been making for 2 million years. It is still a mystery as to how they find their way. Unlike birds, there is not an older generation to lead them to the very same nesting and wintering sites every year. They seem to possess some unknown guidance system of inherited behavior, perhaps an internal OnStar. It is a happy day when Vanessa Antiopa appears. Vanessa is a beautiful purple-black butterfly with a cream-colored border along her wings. When you see her, as I did while writing this piece, you know that spring is on her way. In depictions of the butterfly corn maiden of Zuni culture is found a fashion statement any Star Wars fan would appreciate, the butterfly hairstyle of Princess Leia. The life of a butterfly consists of four distinct stages: the egg larvae, caterpillar, the cocoon state of the chrysalis, and finally, the butterfly. These stages of transmutation are one reason that butterflies are almost universally associated as a symbol of the soul, of rebirth and transformation, with the cycle of life, death, and resurrection. In Christian symbolism, the butterfly in caterpillar form maintains associations with Easter, as the caterpillar represents the broken body of Jesus, transformed into the glorious body that emerges from the tomb. The Greek word for soul and butterfly is the same, psyche. The Roman author Apuleius wrote of the soul in search of divine love in his story of Cupid and Psyche, in which the beautiful Psyche gets a glimpse of her Cupid, the god of love, and then must endure endless trials and tribulations before they are finally united and a child is born, pleasure. The Papago of the Southwest tell of how the butterflies came to be, thanks to Elder Brother, who wanted to make something that would make the hearts of children dance. He took a bag, and in it he placed brightly colored flowers and leaves, and then he added yellow pollen, white cornmeal, green pine needles, and a touch of sunshine. When the children opened the bag, out flew the very first butterflies, with wings the color of the flower petals and golden rays of sun. Everyone laughed and danced with joy. Perhaps one reason butterflies are also associated with dancing, since they have taste receptacles on their front legs, they taste the flowers by walking on them. Butterflies with dancing happy feet. From Psyche's quest for Cupid to the arrival of spring to the hope of Easter, butterflies prove to us that even if we sometimes creep like a caterpillar, we hold within us the power to spread our wings and fly. Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.org. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
This is Animal Heart Radio Network.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Listen, let me talk from my heart. We all know why we need term life insurance, in case the unforeseen happens. Well, I have a family too, and if anything happens to me, I want to make sure my house and my debts are handled and my family has enough money to take care of them for a long time. So about a year ago, I called the Term Lifeline. I got a very affordable price for a $500,000 policy. I want to make sure my family's protected if something happens to me. If you already have term life insurance, call us and get more coverage. It never hurts. Or see if you're paying too much right now. If you don't have term life insurance, you definitely need to call us. Here's the number. 800-430-0932. 800-430-0932. That's 800-430-0932. Not available in all states.
This is Animal Heart Radio
Network.
Well, I wanted to remind everyone that this is the last week for the Reavy Nester picture.
For the contest.
For the contest. If you want to have Reavy Nester do an original artwork of your pet, you could email us a picture at yourvoice@animalradio.com. yourvoice@animalradio.com. That's the only way you're going to get the picture in time for the drawing, which I believe is this weekend.
And she does beautiful work. She's like a, they're like Andy Warhol. They're just
Oh, she'd hate
gorgeous.
It if she heard you say that.
Well, I that's a compliment.
It is. And, of course, all the information is at animalradio.com. We encourage you to check out that website if you haven't had a chance to do so yet. And before we go, we save the best for last. Darlene Arden, how are you doing, Darlene?
I'm fine, thanks, Hal. How are you today?
Very well. Where are we calling you today?
In Massachusetts, where it's actually spring today. Don't blink, you'll miss it.
You're at home. You're at home.
I'm at home for a change.
Yeah, what's next on the agenda, leaving town?
I'm not leaving for a while. I'm here for a bit, and then I'm off to the IAABC conference. That's the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants.
Wow.
And where is that going to be held?
It's going to be held in Baltimore, and it's the first weekend in June. People can learn more about IAABC by going to IAABC.org.
I couldn't live your life because it is just too, you do too damn much is what you do. You're always on the road or something like that.
I am such an eclectic. There's so much to learn. There's so much to see. There's so much to do. And I don't do nearly as much traveling as I'd like to or as I want to or as I could do.
Mm-hmm. What do we got going on this week, Darlene?
Lots of stuff. First of all, you know this is Pets Are Wonderful Month.
Well, it always is Pets Are Wonderful
Month.
Well,
it is for me. And I thought it was really nice of them to arrange that specifically for my birth month. I mean, you
is
know,
that,
I just take that very personally.
And
so
they,
April.
Who is they? Is that Hallmark?
I have no idea who arranged Pets Are Wonderful Month. I just love anybody who will arrange for a Pets Are Wonderful Month.
Here you
and
go.
Everybody who wants a pet should consider a gently used one.
Definitely gently used. And there's even new ones at the shelter, too, you know, especially
lots
this time of year.
Lots of shelter. Plus, there are breed rescue organizations. You can go to AKC.org or CFAinc.org.
And by the way, they'll be on the air next week. Gina Lash will be telling us the top breeds.
Fabulous.
And
oh, they're all top breeds. I love them all. No one breeds perfect for everyone, so you're bound to find something that's a good fit.
And remember, if you're looking for a specific breed, do not go to a breed a specific breeder. Go to a breed rescue.
Go to breed rescue. And the other thing is, not only can you get a gently used pet who may, you know, whose owner may have died, there may be a divorce, who knows what happened. In the case of small dogs, somebody didn't have the patience to house train them, and it doesn't take that long. Really, just be patient. Because you have a lifetime of love coming with them. But there are also retired show dogs and retired show cats who may need a new home.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
And that's what I have. I have a retired show cat, and she's very much loved by the breeder who had her.
Well, then why didn't she keep them?
She didn't keep her because she didn't, for two reasons. One is she didn't want to be selfish and didn't want the cat to have to share so much attention with. She'd rather have fewer cats at home and know that all of them get special attention, and she wanted exceptional homes for exceptional cats. And sadly, at the age of 50, she had a stroke. She didn't know she was diabetic.
Ooh.
And she had to stop breeding. So she was looking for very special homes. And it was just at a time when I was looking for a cat. And when I heard about this, I was going to go to a shelter, and I thought, well, here's another cat who needs a home.
Yes.
And it couldn't be better. She's just wonderful. It was a choice of one of two of them. And this one picked me, as they always do. She brought me a toy. One of her, I didn't find out until later that she only brought these toys to family members to play fetch with her. So she'd already decided I was her family member.
She decided she was going home with you.
She was coming home with me. So she went from Texas to Massachusetts.
Wow, that's a long way.
That was a long way. We went on, a taxi, two planes, a shuttle train at the airport,
it hasn't left the house since.
And my car. Actually, she's a wonderful traveler. That was
really
the benefit. People should think about this. If you do a lot of traveling and you want to take your companion along with you, retired show dogs and show cats are used to being on the road, being with a lot of people, being in hotel rooms. She is so comfortable in hotel rooms. I've taken her on the fast ferry to Nantucket. She's flown many times back and forth to Texas. She's been in the car. She was a demo cat in Pennsylvania at Groom Expo while I was doing some lectures there. Somebody else borrowed her, a professional groomer.
Wow.
And she has a good time.
Her life is her life is as busy as yours. It's pretty much.
Although I have a wonderful, wonderful pet sitter now, and that's a suggestion I'd like to make to people. I found mine through my veterinarian. I have one of her vet techs who comes and does a wonderful job. If you're wondering who to ask, if your veterinarian trusts someone, somebody in staff is going to know your animals.
Yes.
And usually they're looking to make some extra money.
How much should we be paying a vet tech to come watch our animals?
I think it would depend upon where you are. Mine charges per visit, and I pay her $10 per visit, which is certainly reasonable.
Really? And that's just they come in and go out or what?
She comes in. She makes sure Amy has food, water. She sits down and plays with her. Amy gets the full interaction of a best buddy, and I knew it was working out well the first time when Mary came to return my house keys. Well, we call them Amy's house keys since I had them made up specifically for the pet sitter. And Amy came running to her when she heard her voice. And that's a good sign.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, it is. Good.
And that's a real good way to find a companion. Now, if we have a couple of minutes, I'd like to tell you about a dog I met who just stole my heart.
We only have a couple of seconds, actually, but we're going to hold it till next weekend, okay? And remember, if you get an animal this week, spay or neuter, depending on whatever the doctor says. Don't do both. I've been given the wrong advice, apparently.
Yeah, you don't have to do both.
You only have to do
one or the other.
Yes.
And remember that you can get all information about what we've talked about today at animalradio.com. Have yourself a great weekend from Hal
and Judy.
And Darlene.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.